Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome back to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will indeed encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This is a no-holds-barred show. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems, and some will have no spiritual beliefs. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is to keep an open mind. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now today our guest was supposed to have been Brett Potter, who is an amazing psychoanalyst who was going to go on a spiritual journey with me. But I'm of the belief that everything happens for a reason, and amazing things have been going on in my life that I might have at one time perceived as extremely fretful, to say the least, and out of this world crazy. However, there are no coincidences. There are no mistakes. Everything happens for a reason. There is no right or wrong. There is no bad or good. It's all good. It's all right, because it's all part of the process of bringing each and every one of us to our today. We are indeed spiritual beings having a human experience who can have an amazing experience when we open our minds and stop comparing ourselves, when we stop arguing, when we just open ourselves to experience and adventure. The most amazing things can happen. Now, I have been working on several books, and I'm going to take you on a journey today from here to I don't know where. But trust me, it will be just where it's supposed to be, and it will reach just the right people that are supposed to be here. Okay, now where to begin? Now, that's always a question. Begin right where you're at. It's very simple. Spiritual truths are very simple. It's ABC 1, 2, 3. We complicate the bejesus out of them by doing things like religion. Now, I have nothing against religion, but I quite frankly don't like it most of the time. Now, why don't I like it? Dogma, hierarchy, politics, incorrect teachings, like the fact that we do not reincarnate, which goes totally against what Jesus taught. The early Gnostics, who were early Christians, practiced reincarnation, and those beliefs were struck down during the time of Constantine, during the Council of Nicaea, when those in power in the church sought to control people through fear of damnation and eternal hellfire. They sought to control the masses. It was wrong. It was seemingly evil. Now, we all know there is no evil, or if you don't, I will tell you now. There is no evil except that which lurks in the hearts of men and evil behavior. We are all inherently good. We come into this world as perfect angels, and that is how we will remain if we are fortunate enough to have parents that affirm that and that help remind us we've been here before, so that we can remember those lives that have been fulfilling and can revisit and rewrite karma in those lives that might cause challenges or seeming problems in this life. It is all a question of perception, folks, okay? What we bring with us, whatever baggage or challenges, comes from other lives, plain and simple. I carried a life of extreme shame from the life I'd experienced as a prostitute in 19th century England. I was a woman named Elizabeth. Now, what happened is that Elizabeth, I in that life, had been the victim of a vicious rape, brutal rape. Now, what happened after that was seemingly horrific because my family blamed me. The townspeople shunned me. My family disowned me, and I left the town in shame and went to practice the world's oldest profession in the big city, presumably London. I don't know that detail. I did know the name of the town. I've forgotten it, where I had experienced that seemingly horrific experience. So this life, my major challenge, one of them, was that of having been a sex addict. I am no longer a sex addict, cannot relate to it. I've had sex with scores of men, some women, in the most degrading, debasing experiences. So after I had the multi-life therapy, a woman by the name of Mary Blake, who is a superb regressionist, who calls it multi-life therapy, because it doesn't just take you to those lifetimes, it heals you and heals at all levels in all lifetimes. So what she had done in that life when I was having the experience was she took me to the point before the rape, and spirit working through her commanded me to take an alternative route so that I would not be raped. And then I lived what might be perceived as a normal life. I bore children, had grandchildren, and died with my family surrounding me. And what happened in this life, and God only knows what impact it had on me in other lives, is that my sexual addiction disappeared. My shame disappeared. I opened up to the most amazing spiritual adventure of my life, and I've had many since the time I had an out-of-body experience at the age of 25, when I seemingly passed right through another car. I came into this intersection where there was no way for me to go, no right, no left, no time to brake. The female passenger in the other car threw up her hands in a gesture of expecting death, and then I went through them. Well, I was in communion with God. Now, I want to tell you, we talk about reincarnation. Most people don't believe in it. I didn't believe in it at that time. I was 25. I grew up in a fairly traditional Protestant tradition, baptized in the Congregational Church, Presbyterian, no experience with the Holy Spirit, used to fall asleep during sermons, but I was very religious, and I even gave sermons. But after this out-of-body experience, I believed in reincarnation, and guess what happened? Guess what God told me? Wrap your minds around this, folks. He told me that I am the reincarnation of Jesus the Christ. Now, Jesus was a humble man as I am. He was the most perfect angel that had walked on this planet. And let's just say that we all have had amazing lives like Jesus. There have been many amazing prophets, kings, queens. We have all experienced 10,000 lifetimes. That's right, 10,000 lifetimes. All right? Now, I'm losing the thread here, but I will pick it up because I want to say that in Jesus' time, it was said in the scripture of John that even greater works than these you shall do. Now, what that means, folks, is that Jesus was saying that we could do greater works than him. We could work greater miracles. Because as we open ourselves to these amazing spiritual gifts that God will bestow upon us, when we open our minds, are honest, willing, and accepting and grateful for what adventure may come to pass, the most amazing things happen. The sky is the limit. Beyond the sky, the universe. Beyond the universe, the universes. And as our consciousness expands through our spiritual adventures and experiences, so does the mind of the Almighty One, Source, Universes, God, Jesus, Buddha, whatever you choose to call it, higher power. It's all one and the same, and we are all one and the same. We are all brothers and sisters. We are all disciples. We have all experienced male and female energy in different incarnations, straight, gay, black, white, whatever. I have been a slave owner, a barbaric slave owner. I have been a slave, brutalized. I have been Queen of England. I have been a president of the United States. I was fed burning coals during early Christian times. I was a famous painter. I was a shaman, an Indian shaman, Native American. I was a priest in ancient Egypt. These are some of the lives I have experienced that I have remembered. You can remember by going to a regressionist like Mary Lou McIntyre, who has been on my program. Go to MaryLouMcIntyre.com. That's MaryLouMcIntyre.com. Or you can go to Mary Blake. Google her, Psychic Mary Blake, and it will hopefully bring up contact information. If not, you can get in touch with me by tuning into this radio station and talking to me. I'm happy to talk to anybody. In fact, if I like you, I will give you my home phone number. I have my number one fan on the line right now, and she may come on the air later. We've become close friends, and she is going to become president of Free Spirit Broadcasting. Now, my show is carried on different networks, including FreeSpiritBroadcasting.com. What Joe and I are going to do is raise consciousness. We are going to do even greater works than Jesus the Christ, and this is the point I lost. We are all Jesus' potential. Just because I'm the reincarnation does not mean that you are not. Well, this is how it works. Yes, I lived that life, but at a spiritual level, we will all become Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, when we have opened up totally. And we will be able to experience in whatever incarnation, whatever spiritual level beyond seeming life. Life is but a dream, all right? It is an illusion. Physical life is not real, but it feels so real when we're here. And if we enjoy it, if we enjoy the delicious experience of this human life or any of our lives, we can choose to experience that too. The thing is that time, linear time, as we perceive it, is also an illusion. What it is simply a string of moments one after the other, and eternal time is similar. However, it is the split instant, the instant between the split instant, that we are experiences as we remain totally present and aware, which we are at a spiritual level. And we can stay in that place in this life if we remain aware. Present to the moment. That is where we can find heaven in this life. All right, now why would anybody choose something that's not heaven? That makes no sense. We're the only ones that create hell. There is no hell. However, if somebody believes in hell and believes they're going to go to hell, they're going to experience that for a fleeting instant. But God is good. God will release you from that. Now, we have a seeming problem here, which will affect people that are listening to this show live. For whatever reason, we're going to go off the air live. So you will need to go to freespiritbroadcasting.com and click on my picture, David Clark, to hear the end. I don't know why that happens, but I've had a lot of problems with this network. And that is just too bad because I will be moving to another network, all right? So getting back to God, getting back to heaven and hell, God will rescue us. He will take us out of those burning hell fires where our flesh is searing and we're screaming and writhing in agony. But what would just 1 minute in that torment feel like? It would feel like an eternity because, as I've said, that is what eternity is. It is that moment. However, once again, illusion. Life may not be fair as we perceive it or experience it, but God is fair. That's why he gives us multitudinous choices every step of the way. That's gives us 10,000 lifetimes to get it right. Yes, do the right thing. There is no wrong thing. There are actions that are incorrect or missing the mark. There is no sin. There is no shame. What there is, it are lessons, lessons to be learned. And once those lessons are learned, then you can be perfect in this life. Yes, folks, you can be a perfect angel. Angels have walked in human form. Jesus Christ was an angel. Buddha was an angel. Gandhi was an angel. There have been many angels and almost angels. For example, Dr. Martin Luther King was an almost angel. John F. Kennedy was an almost angel. You may know that they had some little, not kinks, shall we say, but they did some things at a personal level that some people might perceive as shameful or sinful. They were just being human. And that brings us back to the notion of sin. Excuse the ambulances. Let's say a prayer for those that are in need. Whenever you hear an ambulance and you're present to the moment, whenever you're present to the moment, say a prayer. Pray first with gratitude, with an open heart, and then send out positive energy to your brothers and sisters who may be in distress in that moment. Send out blessings to the ambulance attendants that they may safely arrive. These are things that you can do when you're present to the moment and conscious that we are all connected. All right. So I got off track a little bit. That's an easy thing to do. But I was present to the moment, wasn't I? I went with the flow. And that's what it's all about, going with the flow, relaxing, easing into the moment, surrendering, releasing whatever impediments, whatever judgments. Do not judge. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And all it takes is faith as small as a mustard seed. And then that's where the miracle happens. And it's not just a question of faith. Now, hope is a stepping stone to faith. Faith is a stepping stone to knowledge. That knowledge that God possesses, which you possess when you tap into that wisdom, which can be learned. It does not have to be taught through the school of hard knocks. Wisdom is remembering who you are. You are God. You are not co-creator. You are God, as I am God, as we all are God. We are all reflections of God, each unique expressions, as if we are different snowflakes. There are no two snowflakes that are alike. As if we are all little water molecules in the ocean of life. Think of the trillions upon trillions. I mean, it's unimaginable. Think about the billions and billions of lives. Just go where you want to go, but stay present. Do not judge. Think with your heart. So getting back to my number one fan, Jill, and as I said, she became a friend. I gave her my telephone number, and she calls me whenever she wants. And you can, too, if you become my friend. You can have an adventure. I will teach you. In other words, God will teach the God within you what you need to know to have your supreme adventure. Because life is meant to be about joy, unending ecstasy, ever-increasing experience with wonder, excitement, anticipation, and it's love that is the cement. Now, Jesus taught about love and forgiveness, and I know because I was there, in a sense. I know what happened during the missing 18 years. That's no big deal. You all will remember that if you're regressed. That's no big deal. So what? So what if I was Jesus? A lot of people would think I was crazy, and some have, and I was locked away, and we'll get to that, too. The point is this. They're just human lives. Now, getting back to those unique reflections of God of which we are all a part, think of the human body. Think of all the cells in it that make up the body. We are part of the body of God. We are one. Whatever you call it, goddess, God, he, she, it, I don't like it, that depersonalizes it. I use the term that Jesus did that I'm most comfortable, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I say the Lord's Prayer. I've seen it interpreted many ways. My favorite psalm is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, Jesus was the gentle shepherd, and he would go after that one lost sheep. All right. That is my challenge to you. Go after that one lost sheep, and it probably is you. That's where it all begins. You are the only one that judges. You are the only one that needs to forgive yourself, but better than forgive, which implies judgment. Just release yourself from that judgment. Release yourself. Because you're human. But guess what? Not human, angel, God, whatever. Life is full of paradoxes. Very full of paradoxes. And we can get into that. It's not all or nothing. It is only all. And then again, it's not. When you think with limited blinders, those scales across your eye that Saul on the road to Damascus experienced when he was blinded by the light, seeing Jesus whom he had persecuted and all those Christians he'd put to death. Well, he became one of the carriers of the message, but he was a very judgmental person. Not to be blamed, that's the way it was written. That was the script for his life. He persecuted homosexuals, for example. Now, God makes no mistakes. Our sexualities are inherent gifts from God. They are marvelous expressions of sensual experiences in union, not just with that special someone, but actually with God. And we can invite any of our other lifetimes. I invite Jesus to enjoy sex. Yes, he was a sensual being, and I'll tell you what. After he was resurrected, he married Mary Magdalene and had three children. And when I was in a psychiatric hospital, I met one of the middle sons. I have met almost every disciple that Jesus knew. I have met Mary Magdalene, who is a former partner, who was a transgendered person who chose not to go through a sex change, who had also been a woman I'd been married to, who had become my widow in the 1940s. I had died from throat cancer. And when me, as David, at the age of 17, beheld her at her final moments dying from pancreatic cancer, she'd been in a coma. She came out of that coma and looked at me with eyes of love, and I read her the 23rd Psalm. Then I walked to her, and these eyes of love were almost too much to bear. I couldn't understand it. I was compelled to hug her, and she reached out to me like a lover and held on to me for dear life and passed away. She transitioned to a spiritual life, but returned 8 years later in the body of this young man who was my former partner, who also had been the reincarnation of Mary Magdalene. Well, that's enough on that. So, where shall we go now? All right, I'll tell you. You want to hear a little bit about my personal life? You know I'm a recovering, no, not recovering, I am a recovered alcoholic. In fact, that term is wrong, too, because we do not inherit disease. Disease, physical disease, mental disease, addiction, whatever, is simply a symptom of a distress or dis-ease within ourselves. All right, and then what happens is it manifests as disease, addiction, lies. Children of God do not inherit disease. They're born perfect. And so do not pray to have a disease removed. You can, but it's not going to work because then you're focusing on the problem instead of the solution. You know, you need to change your paradigm. When you see something as real, it's not going to go away. You need to see yourself as whole and complete. Now, I can teach you how to do a physical healing. It's very easy. But better to visualize yourself as whole and complete. Whole and complete. And to proclaim that you are perfect as you are. You can keep it simple. Perfect as you are. And claim it serves the highest good for all. And thank you, God. Be enthusiastic. Gratitude. That is one of the primary keys, although there are many. Now, Oprah Winfrey, talked about the importance of gratitude. It is beyond measure. I count every blessing, even though an angel healer reader in England who had been on my show said all I needed to do was express gratitude for my life. I count every blessing. I pray each step of the way through my life as an example to God, self, others. Every thought, word, action is a prayer when you lead the spiritual life and follow that pathway to freedom. I am a free spirit, as should we all be. All right? And you possess that key. Now, there are so many ways to achieve it, and it all depends on where you go. You are where you are. You are who you say you are. You are what you believe you are. It's all very simple, and yet it can get oh so complicated. Because spirituality, like the universe, like God, has multitudinous dimensions. As I said, we can live in any incarnation. In fact, I'll tell you this. Every single fork in the road, every single challenge, every single decision choice that you've ever encountered and made is being made by yourself or selves in whatever lives, whatever realities. It is all happening now. Now is where it is all happening. So that is, in a sense, where we find healing, because even the more positive choices are being made right now. Isn't that amazing? Ponder that in your heart. Think with your heart. Let go of judgment. Meditate. Ponder. Wonder. Wonder of wonders. It's very amazing. Now, let me tell you about an amazing experience. It was a nightmare. I told you about my alcoholic and drug-addicted past, sexual addiction. I've had many addictions and compulsions. I had the label of bipolar disorder or manic depression like Abraham Lincoln experienced. All right. I would have devastating depressions, where I went into suicidal ideation and acted that out by attempting suicide, by hanging, by narcotics that should have killed me, by gassing myself. I didn't want to be here, but God wanted me to be here. All right, as He wants us all to be here. So, I had this label pinned on me. And perhaps part of it was because I professed to be a spiritual being who had lived before in the lives of Jesus and others. I don't know. You know, I can't read the minds of psychiatrists, but I can read your mind if you open yourself to that experience. Likewise, I can feel your feelings. I can read your future. I can tell you what the plan is for salvation. These are some of the spiritual gifts that have been given to me. And I have been invited to appear on a psychic network. I'm too busy to do that. I'll leave that to the psychics that need to earn money. We all deserve to earn an honest living. I have been invited to be a speaker at a convention of a couple thousand healers and seers in Vegas in November. And I will do that. And I will not prepare a speech. I channel pure God or Jesus or whatever you want to call it. Whenever I write, whenever I talk, and I'm doing that now, that's why I'm going with the flow, and it's flowing so freely. There's no script here, folks. It's happening now. So, I am wondering what happened to Jill, and I hope that she will call back in because I'd like to talk to her. But I am a seer and a healer. All right? I am going to be an important person, as we all can be, and make a mark on this world. I could tell you stories of what my future is, and you will find out when the time comes. I've been told I'm going to be the next Oprah Winfrey. Wow, wouldn't that be amazing? I'm going to have my international internet cable television network come this fall, followed by network television come 2016 or 2017. So I've taken you on a journey and gone around the mulberry bush as I've gone with the flow. That is my style. That is when I am channeling, and I'm weaving stories and telling you spiritual realities, whether or not you can accept them. If you have an open mind, wow, that is just the beginning of your adventure. So backing up to a point in my life where seeming hell broke loose. It was preceded by a wonderful serendipitous meeting with a Native American man who walked up to me in the pouring rain and said, "You've got positive energy. Can you help me?" And I said, "Of course I can. What do you need?" His car had broken down and he requested some money, a fair sum, but not a lot, to fix his car. But he was diabetic and was having a sugar low and said he was hungry, so I gave him extra money for food. He paid me back later. Well, without going into personal details, we started a relationship. All right. And there were some problems with addiction involved. I'm not going to say who, but in the course of our adventure, I tried a drug I'd never tried before, and it was laced with all sorts of stuff, including LSD. All right. Well, this one particular Sunday, I was extremely sleep-deprived. I was ravenous, and I was exhausted. I chose to honor the tiredness of the body, and I lay down to take a nap, and just as I did so, the police arrived. They had been called by my elderly parents, who had been called by someone who betrayed me, who did not come to me with their concerns, who instead called my parents, and my mother has been suffering from some health problems. It could have caused a heart attack or stroke, but what they were told was that I was a drug addict and alcoholic. Yeah, I'd had a slip, one slip in 26 years, big deal, right? They were so alarmed that they called the police. And the police invited me to take a ride to the emergency room. Well, off I went, willingly, because I knew what would happen if I didn't go willingly. I would have been arrested and then committed, all right? So I went to the emergency room, and it wasn't an emergency room. It was a psychiatric ward. And I got there exhausted and hungry, and I made some simple requests. Now, I still smoke. We'll come to that later. I was hungry. I was tired. I needed a telephone. I asked for these things. It took me 16 hours to get any of that. Was starving. Yes, I did sleep. I was withdrawing from nicotine. That's not a pretty sight because I had been smoking two packs of cigarettes a day. That's a lot of nicotine withdrawal. So I met with the psychiatrist who was to determine my fate at that point in perceived linear time. And she said to me, "You seem ostentatious." Not you seem, you are ostentatious and irritable. And I said, "Madam, wouldn't you be under these circumstances?" She didn't ask me anything about who I was or what was going on in my life. She simply said, "Good day, sir," end of interview, and denied further access to her. What's more, she had me committed within 6 hours. All right? So I went willingly. I had no choice. I was locked up against my will on a locked ward, an involuntary patient. And along came another psychiatrist. Now, I will tell you, not names, but I will tell you names of hospitals because I encountered what I believe to have been malpractice at St. Joseph's Hospital, CPEP, Comprehensive Psychiatric Emergency Program in Syracuse, New York. And then I was taken to University Hospital in Syracuse, New York. at 750 East Adams Street, to be specific. It's good to be specific, right? So there I was. I was beside myself, but amazing things happened. It was so good. I was meant to be there, but I encountered extreme duress and stress because I was unable to do my radio show. I was unable to do the revisions that I had promised to do in a book that will be a bestseller that is about freedom from addictions, and maybe I'll get to that later. I had a psychiatrist, and I told him I was the reincarnation of Jesus, amongst other things, and he told me I could not go. My former psychiatrist, a man with whom I had shared my entire history, had told me I never needed to see a psychiatrist again. I have had over 30 years of psychotherapy, 23 years of psychiatry, and 26 years of 12-step recovery from alcohol, drugs, and sexual addiction. And so here I was, a guinea pig, a victim of judgment, seeming victim, because I am not a victim. And this experience at University Hospital increased my courage to such an extent that I am a changed man, as I am each step of the way, as I open myself to new experience, new understanding, growth that comes from my opening myself to wisdom that I claim from my interaction with others, other angels, life experiences. And it's amazing. For instance, there was a man who was labeled as a schizophrenic, and he identified himself as the middle son of Jesus. And I wept when he told me that. Jesus wept. I weep today. I was unable to express any emotion other than to act them out in reactivity during the time that I was in a life of addiction. Today, I laughed my ass off, and I laughed a lot during University Hospital. I don't need to be with somebody else to have fun and to laugh. I laugh at the absurdity of life. I laugh over the seeming assholes and judgment casters of this world, the imbeciles. They're all angels in training, but most of them have got diapers that need to be dumped. And that was the case with the Wicked Witch of the West at CPAP. She was a judgment caster, plain and simple. I tell it like it is, folks. She done me wrong, but she actually did me good. Now, here's the paradox. Because this schizophrenic that I encountered at University Hospital happened to own an office building with vacant offices, and he offered offices to me and television studios for free. Oh, I hired people off that floor for Free Spirit Broadcasting. I have hired many people I've encountered. I have offered jobs to a fellow from Time Warner who, after having been told by Time Warner for years and years I couldn't get my bill down, he reduced it by $100 a month. And I said, what a miracle. How come? Did they lie to me? I don't know. I don't want to get myself in trouble with a lawsuit, but I'd been told for years and years they couldn't get the bill down. He reduced it by $85 or $90 a month. So I said, what are your hopes and dreams? And some of them aligned with areas that I think that I'm going to go, where I believe and know I'm going to go. And so I said, take down my name and phone number and call me when you're ready. You're hired. And you will make at least $100,000 per year when all is said and done, because all of us should make that much money. Everything in life should be free. Why barter? Why not just exchange services? It's simple. If I was president of the United States, and perhaps I will be someday, I would not bilk the taxpayers like some presidents who take a guess. I don't need to go there. I would pay for Air Force One. I wouldn't draw a salary. If I was a billionaire, I could live on $10 to $20 million so I could have my house on the ocean. I don't need to drive a Rolls Royce or Mercedes-Benz or have a private jet unless I'm president of the United States. I would pass on the wealth. I would become a philanthropist, and I will when I'm a multimillionaire, billionaire, whatever. I may be the richest man on this planet someday. We all should be millionaires. We should all have mansions. As Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. God wants us to experience abundance. So getting back to my psychiatric nightmare, not on Elm Street, I was finally released after 8 days. I missed my radio shows. I missed many commitments. I am not a workaholic, but I can get the job done in half to a quarter of the time because I'm very efficient, I multitask, and I whistle while I work. Life is meant to be about joy, and I love what I do today. I have written 22 books, four of which are published, and the next one to come out, which will be out soon, very soon, on Kindle, will be called Occam's Razor Revisited, A Simple Solution to Freedom from All Addictions. In it, I will point out, as I have already said, that addiction is a lie, a symptom of a deeper distress, a form of reaction, a form of medication. Okay? Once an alcoholic, not always an alcoholic. I go to 12-step meetings and shudder when I hear people say, I'm an alcoholic. My name is so-and-so. I'm a sex addict. I say, my name is David. That's the name I was given in this life. And I'm a free spirit. A firm, only positive energy. We live in a vibrational universe. And when you maintain positive vibrations, you will attract the same. Like attracts like. Why attract negativity? Why go into reactivity, nuclear explosions, drawing negative things to you, experiencing and creating negative karma, which can be rewritten, even in this life? You can erase it by making amends. They teach that in the 12-step programs. Make a list of all persons you have harmed and become willing to make amends, but only do so if that will not harm them or others, including yourself. So you have to be careful what you disclose. For instance, if you're a sex addict and lay out the litany of ways that you have hurt that person, think of the psychic damage you will do. If they know you've cheated on one person or that you've had an experience with sexual addiction, fess up and say, I know, that was wrong. And leave it at that, because otherwise you're going to inflict additional harm on them. And that will create negative experience and karma for yourself. What goes around comes around. Make it positive. Make a difference. Be who you are, to thine own self be true. So my book, Occam's Razor Revisited, has a foreword that has been written by Dr. Bernie Siegel, author of Love, Medicine, and Miracles, among many others, including his most recent book, The Art of Healing. He said that passages in my book were so awesome, he wants to quote them in his next book. Now, that's wonderful. It is also very humbling, and I'm very grateful for it. It means that I have spoken words that resonate with him as truth. All right? And they're simply my life experience, my wisdom, which has been passed on down to me from God. It's amazing. It's an amazing life. It's a wonderful life. It is simply bliss. Joseph Campbell, The Power of the Myth, that was what a book that he authored, said, follow your bliss. If you can pursue consistent moments of joy and allow nothing to take yourself down that ladder into the deep well of despair, you will be free. Now, if you happen to drop a rung or two, just climb right back up. If you fall all the way down, unless you're Superman, you're not going to get to the top in one fell swoop. You need to go step by step, baby steps. And it usually involves taking action. It can be something as simple as calling a friend, holding a baby, playing with your dog, watching a sunrise. Nature. Nature's a wonderful way to get connected, isn't it? We are nature. We are God. We are one. Okay, now, as for the other 21 books I have written, they will be out there soon. I've written a couple of books, three books under the pen name of Davis Aujourd'hui. Aujourd'hui means today in French. For instance, I've written a series about a nun who enjoys her bourbon and Marlboros, The Misadventures of Sister Mary Olga Fortitude, and its first sequel, Babes in Bucksnort. The Reverend Mother is a reformed prostitute. The convent's chef is a gay cowboy. There's a nasty, ornery, busybody, judgmental woman by the name of Priscilla Bunhead. She wears her bun in such a tight bun that she couldn't possibly think for herself. That's a metaphor. She does not have an open mind. She's funny, but she's like us, too, for we all have a dark side. We all have a shadow self. Until we can embrace that shadow and accept that, yes, we are human, we won't be able to let go of it. You know? We can, and we will, when we do the work. It takes a lot of work. And I'm not bragging, but I have done a lot of work on myself. A lot of work. It has not been easy, but it has been very, very simple. Just follow the steps, even if they're baby steps. And so what if you have a slip like I did? One step back, then just get moving forward. And I've moved forward, and I'm right where I'm supposed to be, as I always have been and as you are. I have done the best I could each step of the way. I'm doing the best I can, no matter what, and always have been, as you are too, when you let go of judgment. Okay, so another book that I've written is Putting the Pieces Together. That is a book that looks at a fragmented life. A life that was filled with much pain and suffering and despair, which has served a greater purpose of bringing me to my today. Because the measure of my joy is so enhanced by the depth of my past despair. I judged myself as a sinner because I was gay. So one of the chapters in the book focuses on my secret shame of being a gay man and coming to terms and walking through an open door, as we all can do. Knock, and shall be answered, pass through the door. So I passed through the door to greater understanding and acceptance when I embraced that my sexuality, as all of ours, is a gift from God. It also talked about my recovery from mental illness, seeming mental illness, bipolar disease, manic depression. It also talks about my secret shame, which I referred to earlier, my sexual addiction, and my adventures in drinking and drugging. All right? A lot of that will be included in Occam's Razor Revisited, and I invite you to go to that. But if you can't wait, the Kindle of Putting the Pieces Together is available for 99 cents, a rather spiritual price. And Occam's Razor Revisited will be available for $8. It will be out in paperback and hardcover and hopefully audiobook. It will be made into a movie. I will star in the movie as myself from ages 36 to 60. I can pass for 36 with makeup. Most people say I look somewhere between 40 and 50. 40 is a stretch. I feel like I'm 33. You're only as old as you feel. Age is but a number. And you can grow younger. You can grow younger. You can live forever if you want. Isn't that amazing? It's true. I'm going to live forever as long as I am in a joyful place, in this life. And you can too. I'm sharing this great revelation, and you may think I'm crazy, but it's true. And I've had other people tell me that's true too. There are a lot of believers out there. There are a lot of people that are experiencing illumination as great or greater than mine. I don't know. Only God knows. So, there you have it. I did get out of the hospital. I was reunited with the man that I met when I extended an offer of help at his request. We walked through an open door together as one. Move forward. Burn those bridges to the past that do not serve or enhance your spirit. Only revisit them if they can help another who has experienced or is in distress. Then you can share your experience, strength, and hope and aid in their healing. Otherwise, why would you want to revisit something that's traumatic? That will lower your level of vibration. Now, one other book I have written is called Shades of Gay. It is about a sex addict and alcoholic similar to myself. And I'm now going to play a commercial. Hopefully it will play on that book called Shades of Gay by David Clark. And you need to put both of those names in Amazon because there are other books by that title. Here we go.
Prepare to be shocked. Prepare to be moved. Prepare to laugh. Prepare to cry and prepare to be inspired. Dive into David Clark's latest book, Shades of Gay, and you will find yourself plunged into the trenches of sexual addiction. You will embark upon a kaleidoscopic tour from the abyss to higher ground. In the beginning, it was love at first sight when Daniel and Mark met, but through the years, that same love became tainted. Daniel, an alcoholic and sex addict, has found himself unable to resist the lure of other men. When Mark discovers his infidelity, he leaves Daniel, who begins a dark descent into sexual tryst after tryst. Shades of Gay reveals the myriad desires a lost man can permit his body and soul to revel in despite the pain they bring. But can such fleeting moments of pleasure bring meaning to life? Will Daniel realize the love he had with Mark is worth more than the sweat spent in other men's beds?
The answer you will find if you read the book. The book is filled with tawdry, debasing sex that is shocking. It may be titillating to some, but the book has a higher calling and higher message. If you can get past the sex, excuse me, and I know a gay grandmother who had no problem with it, you will get to the meat of the matter, the experience, strength, and hope of this character who may or may not have a transformation. You will find out about that. Now, before we close, I'm going to do a couple of things. I'm going to remind you of who you are. You are a spiritual being having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if you open your mind and open the doors to greater understanding. If you open yourself to your Jesus Christ potential, if you embrace and love one another, if you release pain and suffering in the past, you will have an amazing adventure beyond your wildest dreams, and it can keep getting better and better in each passing moment, and it will, I promise you this, if you follow some simple rules. Now, you can add to it in many, many layers, but let's just say this. Let's return to be present, follow your joy, follow the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, do no harm, and use your conscience as your guide. I think that's enough for now. Now, today I have a special treat. My upcoming guest next week is a New Thought singer and composer by the name of Jennifer Ferren, F-E-R-R-E-N. She will be a superstar someday. And I am going to close by playing a wonderful song of hers called Throw It All Away. Okay? This tells it like it is. What you need to do if you are going to enjoy a life of freedom. Jennifer Farron. That was the marvelously inspirational, joyful spirit called Jennifer Farron. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. As I've said before and will say again, we are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Mm-hmm.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.